Hi everyone, welcome back to the SLM podcast. Yay, and I'm very excited about this episode. I've wanted to do it for a long time, but I'm so glad that we have to do this episode now. Let me just introduce you to like my guest. If you know me, you know him. So basically, what's your name?
My name is David, King David Uruka. Yeah, that's my name.
Okay, so David is like one of my closest friends in the world. And he's so... Did you just say so?
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to do this. So today we're talking about Christianity, which would come as a shock to a lot of people. But I've always wanted to do this podcast, but not with David, because I just thought like David was not the right fit at that point. The person that I wanted to do this podcast with, she traveled to the UK and she has been there for a while and she's not back. Why I now decided that David was a good fit was I was in his house like sometime last week, I think, with Chimdi. And then we're just talking about like Christianity and the Bible. And I was just like, you know what? I should do a podcast with David. How do you feel being here though?
I feel like the second choice. That's very painful because how wouldn't you think of me first? But regardless, it's nice to talk about God at any time. So yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, so before we go on to the next segment of the podcast, how would you describe yourself in three ways?
Smart, confident, good looking, yeah.
Actually, always my guy said you're so vain. My guy said I'm so good looking. But I usually ask this because when my listeners listen, you know, I want them to have a feel of who like my guest is, so that like when they're listening to the podcast, they kind of relate like the conversation with who they are initially. Do you understand? So when you're speaking, people already know, oh, okay, this guy is smart. Sounds smart. Sounds very confident when he talks. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So we're gonna go on a short break right now and we'll be back with the episode. Hi everyone. I'm just gonna make this quick, short, and easy. Stop, you know. Go to my social media right now. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever it is, at Mbachi Stephanie. MbachuStephanie. Follow me right now. Follow me everywhere you find me. Just search for my name, Mbachi Stephanie, and follow me real quick. Then on my bio, you'll probably see a link. Click on that link. Engage my short story. Engage my newsletter. Engage everything that I put out there. Engage my articles right now. Do it right now. Please do it right now, real quick. Thank you. Love you. Enjoy the episode. Yeah, welcome back. So I just gonna do a quick question round with David and then he will just answer, and then from there we'll just dive right into like the actual conversation. So first question, what was religion like to you growing up? Like how often did you go to church as a family?
I went to church every Sunday growing up with my, you know, my family and all of that, but that was not like when I didn't know God for myself then. I just used to go to church because, oh, I didn't have a choice. I had to go to church. My family goes to church on Sundays. So, like, I just tag along and that was it. But, you know, now I have grown to know God for my own self. Not because my family goes to church. I go to church because I want to go to church. So, yeah, that's that.
You've answered, like, three questions. You should have just answered, how often do you go to church? You've told me, oh, you found God, bro.
I'm smart. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I don't know, but yeah.
Okay, so like with me, I grew up Catholic. I think I'm still Catholic. I don't know. I grew up Catholic. If you know me, went to a Catholic primary school, Catholic university, Catholic all my life. I have aunties who are Reverend Mothers, who have been Reverend Mothers for 30 years. So the entire family is Catholic. You go to my house in the village, there's every house, in every compound, there's a big altar where we say the rosary and do all of that mass thing in Igbo. So it was really, really deep. But yeah, that was how it was like growing up. But the thing is, we only do church often in the village. When my father was alive, we used to do church like every weekend. We used to do church like maybe once in 2 weeks or once in 3 weeks. So it wasn't very core. But my mom as well, my mom liked church. I just feel personally, I feel like growing up for us in the house, we didn't used to do church every day, but you know, when we went to church, we would come back, my father would make us reread every reading that happened in church. He would make us explain it to him while we're massaging him, taking out his pimples. Like, that was his way of making us, you know, see God, experience God, feel God. So that was how it was like growing up, you know, in the family. I have another question for you. When did you deviate? When do you feel like you deviated from the word of God into the world? You know, there's a point in life where I feel like you deviate. Like, at what age? At what made you deviate? Was it like, was it curiosity? Like, what was it exactly? So, when did you deviate from the word of God to the world?
I think this was, I should be like my just two. How old was I then? I was probably 10. Yeah, 10. I was that young. So up until like I graduated from university. Actually, up until I finished my NYSC. Okay, not finished. But up until I was 7 in NYSC, I was just here. So yeah, what made me deviate? I don't know. I was a child. I was very curious. I was in boarding school. I was around friends that did not exactly have, you know, the belief of God and all of that. And I was just wild, basically. I was very, let's just say I was experimenting. But yeah, and then, you know, you deep down, you like, oh, you know who God is, you know who Jesus is, you and all of that, but like, you don't live accordingly, right? You just do what you want to do. And then when they ask, are you a Christian? You're like, oh, of course, yes, I know who God is, I know who Jesus is, but like, you're living like you shouldn't, right? So yeah, my GS2 up until my uni days were the worst. Jesus Christ. I went to Covenant University, where you would think, oh, this guy's supposed to be spirit cuckoo, but you don't know about it. Yeah, my uni days were probably the worst, and but thank God I found him. Oh, thank God he found me. So yeah, that's that.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that last week, that you don't find God, God finds you. And why would you say something like that? Just to deviate a little bit.
That says in the Bible. It says in the Bible, I can't remember what chapter or verse exactly, but it says, you did not choose me, I choose you. So it's in the Bible.
Nice, nice. This is so, it's so refreshing to hear you talk about God. Like, if you know David, you would not imagine David to be like the one to be telling you about God. With me, when did I deviate from the word? Sorry about the heat. We turned off the fan to make sure that the recording is pure, but apparently there's no light, so the gen is on. So the audio is going to be a little bit cracked. I don't know, but sorry about that. Back to the podcast. When I feel like I deviated from the word, was still the same. Like, secondary school was, you know, like when you're younger, you do church every time. You know, people most times are born into their religion. If you're a Muslim, atheist, whatever you are, 7 days Adventist, if your parents are those, you would somehow believe in like that, like religion or what it is. So, you know, with me, like, there was that, but like when I got into secondary school, primary school was even still, oh, I'm trying to be innocent. But you see, that secondary school, it was just laced with a lot of things, because, you know, then you get to learn, because, you know, primary learning probably comes at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12. So you're learning from different things, different experiences. You see like this family, this atheist family, 7 days. Like, you know, different people with different ideologies in different families coming together in that secondary school. So it was a lot. Like, secondary school was a lot of experiences. I feel like that's when I kind of deviated from the word of God. But not like in a sexual way. I feel like, you know, I started doing random things like picking pockets and like just random things that I shouldn't do as a child of God. But sexually, yet I was pure until like 200 level. And I'm not, why David, stop clapping for me. I'm not saying that to feel like the most righteous, but I'm just trying to explain for me, like, obviously, like, there are different types of deviation. Like, there's a sexual deviation, there are people who still like, who deviate, who go into the world, Yahoo boys and the rest of it. Sorry if you're a Yahoo boy listening to this, I'm sorry. But like, that was when I feel like I've deviated from the word of God into the world. David, what was that life like? Like, was it like an experience for you? Like, what was it like being in the world? Like, just what was it like?
I do exactly understand the question, but obviously speaking, I don't want to sound all spiritual, like I'm, you know, the most righteous, all of that. But it was fun. Let's be honest. It is fun to do all of these things. It is fun to, you know, mess around with girls. It is fun to, you know, I was, never mind, let's not get too deep. But yeah, it was fun to do all of these things. So yeah, it's fun until it's not fun, right? It's fun until you realize that, look, you're doing yourself more harm than good. It's fun until you realize that this is not the way. There's more to life than, you know, just doing these things. There is a life after this. There's internal life and internal, you know, this, it's just not here. We don't end here. It doesn't end here on earth. So yeah, but you know, when I was there, when I was living like that, I didn't even think about nothing. I was just having fun. Literally, it was just a lot of fun. And that was, but right now, you wouldn't consider, or I wouldn't personally, I wouldn't consider these things to be fun anymore. I'm not saying, you know, you cannot have basic, I don't know what basic fun in quotes is, but you cannot have fun as a child of God. You definitely can't. But you know, that things that you shouldn't be enjoying as a child of God here.
True. And you know, people always say that, you know, this podcast is gonna be, I feel like I should do a part two, but with somebody else. Like, I just want you to be like a surface level into like the part two of the podcast. But you know, like, people usually say, like, Christianity sometimes, like, especially if you're aware of the world and you find God, sometimes it's very hard to like stop those bad characters. And why I'm speaking about this also is because you know, people usually say that as Christians, it's you have to judge people to an extent. I can't remember where exactly. Somebody explained it to me. I feel like I'm getting it all wrong, so let me just shut up and move on. I don't want to talk about that. Let me answer my own question. So how was that life like for me, doing that? I wouldn't know. Like, I used to judge myself a lot. I can't even lie. Like, when I feel like I have sinned against the word of God, I have sinned against Christ, I would judge myself. Like, Stephanie, like, is that guilty conscience? Like, when you do something, I would not start thinking, like, Jesus, why did I just do this? Like, God, I come from a good Christian home. Like, why did I just do this? Like, why did I just get into this sexual relationship or something like that? Like, sometimes it would just be ringing in my head, like, I shouldn't do this. So that was how the life was for me. Like, I felt like guilty conscience was eating me up. You understand? But then again, like, there was also peer pressure where, like, maybe I would go out to a place, like, everybody's doing every random thing, and I'm just there, like, sitting down. People come and ask me, oh, Stephanie, do you want to do this? And I'll say no, because at the end of the day, like, I always make sure that I have, like, I want to feel guilty if I engage. But you know, sometimes you let people, like David has said, like, God will usually find you. But as Christians, you know, people usually say that our one of our biggest missions on earth is to drive people to Christ. So what would you say, if as Christians we're supposed to indulge people in Christ, how does that not contradict Christ finding you? Do you understand my question?
I don't understand your question. You have to, like, you know.
Okay, so people usually say that as Christians, you know, the least you can do is try to indulge people in Christ. Like, tell people about Jesus Christ, tell people about the gospel, about the word. But then again, you made mention about Christ finding you. So why do we need to indulge people? Why can't we just let Christ find them?
That's how God finds you. That's how God will find you. God does not come down from heaven to operate on earth. He sends men to do his will. When you say, God bless me, God will not open the heavens and then pour down money for you. He will send a man or a woman that has a contract for you or something. That's how God works. He doesn't open the heavens and comes down. Doesn't open the heavens and comes down to, like, you know, work his miracles and all of that. He sends men to do his will for him. So yeah, that's how he finds you.
If this is not a personal question, how did God find you? Is it personal?
No, I mean, sharing your salvation experience is not. Wow, this is deep, because it's like, ugh. But either way, after I was done with school, right, I had a lot of time to, like, just be at home, think just by myself, especially during my NYSC. And then I got into this department in church where I was always a church worker, right? Even when I was not exactly, you know, living by the. So yeah, I was in a department before, I didn't exactly like it there because they were always complaining about one thing or the other about me. So I changed my department and went into another department, and they were very welcoming, right? And the HOD of the department was always so nice to me. She was always talking to me about, you know, Christ and everything. And, you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, right? And she would always invite me to, like, youth service and all of that. And, you know, constantly hearing the word of God, you know, it just melted my heart. And, you know, I just, like, I thought about, like, the kind of life I had been living, where my life is at now. Like, you know, like, this is not where I'm supposed to be, like, personally. I know what I'm capable of doing. So, like, I just thought, like, you know, I don't have to do everything by myself, right? I mean, the Bible has said, come, O ye that are heavy, you know, come to, I don't want to misquote the Bible, but basically saying, you know, drop your baggages for Jesus to help you, you know, and all of that. So I just thought, I mean, if there's somebody who's willing to do this for me, why am I trying to kill myself and do it upon myself? And one day I just stepped out, and June 12th, by the way, and I just stepped out to, like, give my life to Christ, and that was it.
That's so beautiful. With me, I would say there are two reckonings. So the first one was after my father died. No, okay, so I won't even lie. Like, you know when people lose, like, their loved ones, they kind of deviate from God because they're like, why did he take this person? So there was that, I wouldn't lie, that made me deviate from God. But I came back after I had seen that, you know. Okay, so that entire event made me a feminist. My father dying made me a huge feminist and also made me hate to love God. I hate that I'm using that word, but, like, you know, that's the reality of it. So with that, like, years after my father died, I could see that, you know, things were getting better in the family. Things were getting better with my brothers, myself, my mom. So, you know, it made me believe again in, like, the gospel, in, like, Jesus, in, like, the Holy Ghost, you know, the Trinity and all of that. So that was the first reckoning. The second one was in 2020. Sorry, my love. The second one, anyways, by the way, David's back is hurting, so that's why I told him sorry. The second reckoning was in 2020, after my fame, in quotes. Somebody reached out to me, a girl from my secondary school. She was like, hi, Stephanie. Oh, my God, I've been thinking about you. And I was like, hey, hi. You know, we had to catch up for a little bit. And then she told me, she was like, hi, I hope you're using your fame to, you know, spread the word of God. And she invited me to her church. And, you know, like I've said, I have been a Catholic. But going to a Pentecostal church, a particular Pentecostal church I don't want to mention on here, you know, opened my eyes. Like, the way the pastor explained the Bible, it wasn't a I'm judging you way. It's like, God loves you. You are a human being, you know. Open your heart to God. And I really enjoyed the way he, you know, explained God to us, you know, that day in the congregation. Like, it was so breathtaking. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to come here again next week Sunday. I'm going to tune into his programs and everything. You know, so my eyes started opening. There are a lot of things, you know, I had to learn, like the entire baptism. Baptism is not water, it's the Holy Ghost descending on you, you know. There's also a lot of things that I feel like Christians are getting wrong. And then he kind of explained, he opened our eyes to it, like what Christians should do. Like, you know how Christians shouldn't judge. Like, my mindset started changing. You know when people, you know when somebody wakes up in the morning and tweets, oh, somebody died, but you did not die, so thank God. You shouldn't thank God because somebody died and you're alive. You should thank God because you should thank God. You know how, I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say, where people come online, you know, just a lot of things that people say, you know. I started, my eyes, you know, started opening to, like, the word of God. And I really, really appreciated, like, my friend reaching out to me and, you know, opening my eyes. And when I went to her church, and, you know, everything just became good and fine. David, so what's your take on Christianity? Christianity in generations. You know, let's not lie. Our fathers, our parents, you know, idea of religion is different from our own idea of religion. But what's your general take? What do you think Christianity should be? And what's your take on Christianity in general? Can you answer that?
I can try. I don't think Christianity should mean different things to people, right? Christianity is basically your relationship with God, you know, being Christ-like, being a disciple of Christ, following the doctrines of the word. That's basically what Christianity should be, you know, your relationship with God, having a personal relationship with God. The other day, my pastor was talking about how you should learn to be intimate with God, you know, not just always going to ask. Your prayer should not just be like, need this, you know, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that, you know. Have that intimacy with God. The same way you have an intimate relationship with your dad at home or your mom at home, it's the same way you should have that with God. So Christianity shouldn't mean different things to different generations. It is one thing. The word has not changed. The word was the same in the days of Abraham. The word was the same in the days of David. It's the same now. When we've died and we've gone and there are like seven other generations there, the word is still going to be the same. So if the word is being the same, then Christianity should not change. It shouldn't have different meanings. It's just one meaning, and it is, you know, being like Christ every day, trying to be like Christ every day, following God, following the word, following the doctrines, being a disciple. Basically, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, that's lovely. That's lovely. Be Christ-like, guys. Be Christ-like. Why I asked that is, why I asked on take of Christianity according to generations, is because our current generation now, we're in trouble. If we're being very honest, we're in trouble. There's just a lot to do. There's a lot to work on in our generation. And this is not me trying to be judgmental, but at the end of the day, like, we have to be truthful to ourselves. We have to be truthful. You know, this is not who you are at the end of the day. But why do you think this generation is not as religious as our father's generation?
Okay. First of all, the Bible says this is clear that we're in the end times, right? And the Bible has said that this is where it's going to be in the end times, you know. I don't want to say what it is, what it says, because it sounds like I'm judging people. But clearly, the Bible has said we're going to see these things in the end times. So the Bible is never wrong. The word is never wrong. So I cannot say this is why it is like this. I cannot come out and tell you that. I can only tell you that the Bible has said it's going to be like this, and that is why it is like that. Basically,
is that all?
Yeah, that's all. The Bible has told us that, oh, in the end times we're going to see this type of things. What are we seeing now? You know what the Bible has said. So it's not about, at the end of the day, everybody, this is a different answer to something else. So yeah, the Bible has said that, you know, this is going to happen in the end times. So clearly, all we can just see from everything we're seeing is that, oh, I mean, this is the end times.
Okay, but as a Christian, what are you doing to make sure that everybody becomes righteous again? What's your, like, everybody has a job to do. What's your job as David to make sure people see who God is?
Right now, I'm, you know, speaking to God. I'm sorry, speaking about God on your podcast. That's one. I'm reaching out as a form of evangelism. English.
English is failing you today.
That's a form of evangelism, right? I bet. And I pray. Actually, I pray for people around the world, you know, sinners and all of that, because it's one thing to have fun now, it's another thing to be eternally doomed. That's, you don't want that. So I pray for people to, like, find the light. If life has to hit them hard for them to, you know, sometimes that's how people find God, when life has showed them shiggy. So if life has to show them shiggy for them to see the light, then let life show them shiggy for them. As long as at the end of the day they are getting internal life, that's the main goal. So I talk to people when I can, you know. I'm just playing my little role. Everybody has a role, you're right, but I'm not going to over there. I'm not a pastor that's going to open a church and start preaching, but the one or two people I can talk to, I mean something.
Yeah, always find a way to, you know, how if you're passionate about something, you always find a way to, like, impute it in every conversation you have with somebody. Like, for example, I'm going to use this PVC thing as an example. I would always impute the government into every conversation that I'm having, just to make sure that everybody is on track, everybody understands. So as Christians, I feel like we should impute, like, first of all, if it depends on who you're trying to draw closer to God. There are people who are stubborn. There are people who have strategies, you know. Like, you have to understand a person's character to know what method works for them. But as Christians, we should always learn to impute it, make it our daily activity to just preach the word of God to somebody, anybody. You could be in a bus, in an Uber, in a random party. Just, you know, pitch it in, like, hi, okay, are you Christian? What church do you go to? Like, what's your take on Christianity? Like, do you believe in God? Do you believe in eternal life? What does Christ mean to you? You know, these things that you can start conversations with the person, or maybe can exchange social medias or numbers, just, you know, chip it in. Like, you see that the person would want to engage you. And another thing we should learn as Christians is to be ambassadors of Christ. You cannot say you want to draw people closer to God and you're judgmental. You're judging them, you're saying these things. Like, you have to do it in a soft manner, because at the end of the day, if people can point to you, like, oh, David, this guy is a Christian, and I like his way, I like him being a Christian because he's soft, he's kind, he's showing me so much love. You cannot be a Christian and be harsh. Every day on your Snapchat, you're saying, if you don't do this, you'll go to hell. Like, you know, that kind of Christianity is very harsh. So as Christians, we should be ambassadors of Christ. Another question that I have for you, it might sound very tricky, but I kind of want you to be honest. What do you think are the faults of Christians? Like, why do you think people don't want to indulge in Christ? What do you think Christians do that maybe irritates, like, you know, people to question, like, Christianity?
Before I answer, I want to ask you a question. Who is a Christian?
A Christian is somebody who is Christ-like, somebody who believes in the resurrection, the death, resurrection, and believes that Jesus is the Savior and Jesus is the gospel.
And also follows the words of anything. So if a Christian, nobody is perfect, we're all working towards perfection, right? But if a Christian who is conscious of who he is, who he's trying to be like, you know, that means he's being passionate about what he does and all of that, he's going to follow the words, you know, strictly and all of that. And if you're doing that, you shouldn't have, to me, you shouldn't exactly have some type of fault. But what we're seeing today, yeah, people come out and they're like Christians, but then they're the ones, you know, doing the most. I'm trying to think of, like, an example, but nothing is coming into my head. But we've seen sometimes, okay, yeah, in Lagos, traffic, there's traffic on the road, you're driving, you have prayed for 7 days in a row, you're fasted, and then you've been in heavy traffic for some time, and somebody hits your car or something, somebody tries to get in front of you, you know, you're mad, you know, things like that, and then maybe the person passing or trying to get into your front or something sees a sticker, Jesus is Lord, something like, and this person is a Christian. So you see, I feel like the environment that people find themselves sometimes, you know, has a big part to play in all of this, and that's what causes some people to, like, forget who they are and, you know, act off character, should I say that. But at the end of the day, you know, I was reading a book where it says you have to self reflect and, you know, think back and all of that, and just, you know, as long as you can always think back and realize that, okay, you're not perfect and you're trying to learn, you're trying to grow, I think you'll get there eventually.
You will get there eventually. As Christians, like, nobody's perfect. Like, only God is perfect, and Jesus, which is God, three people in one, yeah, they are perfect. But like David said, like, if you're conscious about things, if you're trying to be better, God will make you better. God will help you be better as a Christian. Do you understand? Like David has already even summarized, like, on Twitter, you see somebody always preaching about the word of God, but something happens and they slip. Of course, they're human beings, but it's like you're not setting a good example for people who are trying to lean into the word of God, lean into Christianity. You're on timeline insulting somebody, oh, your daddy would die, and they click on your bio, they see Imago Dei, they see a verse. Like, it's just, you know, it draws people, you know, away from God. So as Christians, be good ambassadors. So this last question before we round up this segment: how do you think we can be better Christians?
Improving yourself every day, 1%. Improving by 1% every day in the long run. If you actually take out time, if you can get a book or something, write down how you've improved, you know, today. If you do this for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, or half a year, you know, you realize that you've made a tremendous change and a tremendous growth. So, like, you can't go from being a child to being an adult in the space of 2 days. No, it's a process, right? So like, just be mindful and be careful of not trying to put too much pressure on yourself. Just take it a step at a time. Literally, you don't go from the down of the staircase and just jump up. You have to climb each step. So yeah, take it a step at a time. There's literally, life will tell you, life will show you, like, the different things that happen in life will show you that you don't go from the, you go through the process and everything. So if you can, what's the word I'm looking for? Be accountable, yes, to your own self. Like I said, you could get a book, you could get a journal or something, just like write it down. Oh, this is what I did today that made me grow 1% better. Yeah.
True. Even lie, true. Like, journaling is very important. Like, it's one thing to hear the word of God, it's another thing to journal. If you're in class, somebody, your teacher is saying something, you're journaling it down because you want to reference it. Like, journaling is very important, and I feel like a lot of people don't understand that journaling, constant, you know, reference to the Bible is very important. Another thing I would like to say is constant practice. If you want to be perfect, you have to constantly practice. You have to constantly pray. You know, not a lot of people. Me, I used to say, I don't really know how to pray. And that's why I feel like that's when speaking in tongues comes into place. Because when you're talking to the Holy Ghost, you know, it's better to speak in tongues because that's the language of the Holy Ghost, you know. Learn, and the Holy Ghost. So what's that thing? Can you explain how tongues comes into place?
Basically, when you're baptized by the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost falls upon you, you basically learn how to speak. You not learn, but you just, you know, it's not like something that you got and learn. It just falls on you and then you speak in tongues.
Yeah. Exactly. I just kind of wanted, because I was missing the words, I wanted David to bring me back on track. So the thing with it is constantly practice. If you want to be a basketballer in future, you are going to be hooping every day. If you want to be a footballer, you're going to be kicking the ball every day. So constantly practice. Like, don't say, of course, like, it might be hard sometimes. Maybe today, you do next week. But try as much as possible to engage with the Word of God every day. It's just so enlightening. But that's the end of this segment. We'll be back for another segment. Just enjoy the break. Do you have anything to say before the segment goes?
Nah, I don't think so. Jesus loves you.
Okay, so yeah, we'll be back. This is the SNM Podcast. Brought to you by me, the biggest brand, Stephanie Nomambachu. Subscribe, comment, like, rate, share, and follow the podcast. And now back to the motherfucking episode. Okay, welcome back, guys. So, David, what's everybody's take-home salary today?
Arsenal is the best team in the world. I'm so sorry. I know that this is not what we're talking about, but I'm so happy. Arsenal is doing well because I've been an Arsenal fan since I knew what football was. I'd cried for Arsenal before. Damn, my father was laughing at me. So yeah, I'm so happy that we're on top of the table. Arsenal is the best team in the world. We're going to win the league. And then, you know, if you watch basketball, Boston Celtics is the best team in the world. Then Memphis Grizzlies. I love Jason Tatum. I love Ja Morant. I love Jaylen Brown. I love Booker, Steph Curry. But, like, you know, my goods are Tatum and Brown and Ja. And yeah, Arsenal is the best team in the world. And Odegaard is a magician. Oh my god. Yeah, that's my take home. Watch football and support Arsenal if you know good. You don't marry a man that does not support Arsenal. I'm serious. He's not loyal. I'm serious. Just look at me.
Actually, if you support Arsenal, you're loyal. You are definitely loyal. But yeah, that's his take home salary. I don't know what my take home is. My take home is just be better in anything you're doing in life. Just be better. Constant practice. When you put your mind into something, you will do better. You will be better. Yeah, that's my take home salary.
Yeah, perfect.
Your time is when you hear this, right?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Okay, game time, guys. David, I have two questions for you in case you fail the first one. Mention the 12 disciples of Christ.
This is funny. Do you know why this is funny? Because this month I'm studying, from last month rather, I've been studying, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and they list them like twice in Matthew and in Mark. But I can't list all of them out like one by one. But I know there's Peter. Obviously, there's James and John, there's Judas, there's the second John, there's this guy that has
Simon Peter.
Simon is Peter. you know, they change name, something like that. Mm-hmm. But he changed his name. I don't know, right? I've mentioned five, yeah? So there's seven more to go. That's a lot, too.
There's Matthew.
There is Matthew.
Matthew is the smart one that documented.
Yeah, there is Matthew, right? There's this name I'm trying to remember. It's not normal.
Bartholomew?
Yes, that's the name I was trying to... There's that guy. And there are the brothers. Okay, I've mentioned the brothers. Which one was fishing? There was one that was the father. I think that was Peter that was the father. Yeah. They didn't, you know, the Bible does not document how the rest, not all of them, how all of them were deceived. But
I used to know this thing like Matthew, James, John, Simon, Peter. Okay, so there were four people who were fishing that God reached out to. No, it's four. Yeah, the first set and the second set. One were friends and the other were brothers. I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure.
I think they were just two fishers, right? Because they were trying to fish, and then Lord said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men," right? Yes, yeah, so I think it was just two. We could go into the Bible and check, but I think it was just.
But we've tried, right? At least we've mentioned like eight of them.
Let me not embarrass my.
Okay, so let's check the internet real quick.
Hey, put your mic in your mouth.
So let me try. I think there's Matthew, James, John.
There was okay. Let's. Excuse me. This is the record. It was Judah.
Yeah, you mentioned
Judah was the father of Perez. Who was mama? It was. Hey!
Just search on Google like 12 disciples. Just.
Okay, no, this is I'm reading the wrong thing.
You guys, please, we've tried. Please don't shame us. We're learners. We're learning. We're not perfect. Thank you so much for listening up until this part of the podcast. I really appreciate you. Do you have anything you want to say to them?
Yeah, like I said earlier, Arsenal is the best team in the world.
Please talk about Jesus. What are you doing?
Oh my days. Please don't be. I'm personally, how much time do I have to speak?
10 seconds.
That's very short. But just don't be shy to, you know, follow Christ. I mean, speaking from personal experience, I knew that it can be difficult and intimidating, but you know, at the end of the day, in the long run, you're going to reap the rewards of following Christ. So just do that and drop all your bad habits.
All right, bye guys. I love you guys so much. Deep Negro Sigh. We are so sorry that we've come to the end of this amazing and entertaining episode. But the good news is I will be here with another guest same day, same time next week. So come back, okay? I love you so, so much. Bye.